deceived me, now here's a surprise.
Hello, listeners. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and others on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We are now the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical program in the world, and we now have listeners in over 25 different countries. I want to say a big hello to our new friends and listeners in Seattle and across the United States and across Canada and in the United Kingdom, Ireland, Italy, Israel, New Zealand, Australia, Turkey, Kenya, South Africa, Switzerland, Germany, France, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Chile, Malaysia, the Philippines, Dubai, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Indonesia, and India. And if I've left anyone out, please accept my apologies. Before we start, I'd like to ask all of my listeners, both here in the United States and abroad, to send good thoughts and good prayers to Susan Miller in New York. She was my guest here a few months ago. She's one of the world's best astrologers, and she hasn't been feeling well. And I know your prayers and good thoughts would really help her. Also, another guest of mine, Dr. Stanley Monteith, was diagnosed with cancer some months ago, and if you could send some good thoughts to him as well, I'd really appreciate it. Before we begin, I would like to urge all of my listeners next week to tune into Susan Harmon's wonderful show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. and Sarah Wiseman's wonderful show from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KKNW. Both are wonderful spiritual shows, and I know you'll enjoy them. They're on the air just before mine. Today we have a split show that I guarantee will be really out of this world. From now until 3 p.m. for the first hour, we will be speaking with Patricia Corey. Patricia was on the program several weeks ago, and I want to invite her back because we did not have enough time to discuss everything about her wonderful new book, The Emissary, and her other works. She's been a voice for alternative media since 1996 and a New York Times bestselling author of The Emissary. In the year 2012, she founded the global nonprofit association Save Earth's Oceans, dedicated to restoring the balance of the fragile ocean ecosystems and saving the whales and dolphins from whaling slaughter and exploitation. For the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, we're very fortunate and grateful to have Phoenix Redhawk on the air. She'll be coming to us live from Long Island, New York. She's one of the best psychic healers in the United States, and she's able to talk to animals. She's an amazing healer and specializes in stress reduction and balancing the emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual levels of one's being. For those who'd like to call in and ask questions of either Patricia or Phoenix, we will be taking calls from 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Patricia, or from 3:30 to 4 p.m. for Phoenix. The telephone number in the United States to call is area code 425-373-5527, or toll-free within Western Washington is 1-888-298-9569. And before we begin, I always like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing moral support, and without whose friendship and help this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla Community College. My dear friend Heidi in Switzerland, along with her friends who have been helping to arrange a radio appearance by Eric von Doniger and other wonderful European psychics. My angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Taylor, and my station manager, Eric Krema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Our upcoming guests include best-selling author Pam Grout and Nostradamus scholar John Hogue 1 week from today on June 27th. Then on July 11th, we have a very special guest, Susan Liberty Hall, who will talk about how she rid herself of breast cancer by just laughing. Seriously, of course. Cancer, of course, is no laughing matter, but her interview should be really out of this world and a great uplifting experience. In July, famous New York psychic Catherine Mitchell and two representatives of the Galactic Federation of Planets will be on the program, along with a wonderful spiritual healer named Abby Lynn. She will be coming live by telephone to us from Dublin, Ireland. For more information about these guests, please visit our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. Now let's go on to Patricia. Patricia, hello. How are you doing today? All right, friends. Well, in the meantime, let me give a short biography. We're having Patricia's on the line from Rome, Italy. We had her on the line a few minutes ago. She's been called a real-life Indiana Jones by fans and readers around the world. She's one of the most well-known and established authorities on alternative realities and exopolitics realms. She has been a channel for the Sirius civilizations for the last 20 years. She's also written a series of books called The Atlantis Rising, as well as No More Secrets and No More Lies, and Cosmos of the Soul. It's a famous series of books, and she's been... She has 7 best-selling books published in more than 20 languages and is an accomplished writer and author. In 2012, she founded the global nonprofit association Save Earth's Oceans, dedicated to restoring the balance of fragile ocean systems and saving the whales and dolphins from whaling slaughter and exploitation. As president and CEO of the organization, she's determined to raise the consciousness of human beings around the globe in order to alter the destructive course we find ourselves and to reestablish harmony of the earth. She's now turned her talent to screenwriting, having completed a full-length feature script of The Emissary book, which she just published. The film rights have been acquired by Global Universal Entertainment, and the screenplay is already in development to become a major motion picture. I urge you all to get a copy of it. If you go to the show website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and scroll down to her name, you'll find a link to Patricia and her wonderful works.
And it's I think we have her back. Patricia, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent.
Patricia, how do you say hello in Italian?
Ciao.
Ciao, of course.
Easy peasy.
Well, tell me, Patricia, what time is it there in Italy now?
It's 11 p.m.
Well, I'm so sorry to keep you past your bedtime. But
it's not my bedtime, actually. I'm good.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, for my listeners who were just tuning in, Patricia, how did you get interested in whales and dolphins and their questions of saving them and helping these beautiful creatures and helping these to protect these beautiful creatures on the planet?
Well, I've been a passionate follower of whales, literally out on ships and boats and whale watching and dolphin watching for many, many years. And I went into the water to swim with live dolphins in 2010 after I started receiving messages from the whales and dolphins in 2009. And that's a very peculiar story, which I'd love to share.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, I was teaching in Jordan, and it was my first time there. And it's a different culture. It was a different type of audience, let's say. So I'm in the middle of teaching. I was working with these people on DNA activation, a workshop I do. And in the middle of this experience, this is the second day, I suddenly started hearing this desperate plea of whales calling for help. And in the middle of teaching, I was transported into the middle of the ocean, psychically, of course, and I had this horrible, really horrible experience of being around all these dying whales and desperate dolphins thrashing about, and their message was, please help us before we leave you. And I got panicky because I was experiencing this drowning, terrible scene standing in front of 150 people that I barely knew. So I called the class to a halt and sort of ran out of the room to gather myself and just barely managed to finish the workshop that day. And then when I got back to my hotel, I switched on the news and learned that 150 whales and dolphins had beached themselves and died in New Zealand. And it worked out to be that at the same time that I was experiencing that moment was when they were dying.
Oh, wow.
So these events start to occur, psychic connection to whales and dolphins that were beaching themselves and struggling. For months, this went on until I started to actually, I asked, look, if I'm supposed to be in service for this message, you've got to take me out of this terrible pain and talk to me. Tell me what it is you want me to share with the world. And so I started to receive channeled messages, and that became a book called Before We Leave You, which is the book that preceded my new book that you've talked about in the introduction, The Emissary.
Yes. Wow. What messages were they saying? What was the cause of their distress? I mean, I could think of lots, including pollution, but did they say identify some causes of it?
Well, their preliminary problem is the sonar in the ocean. Obviously, our oceans are under severe stress between radiation and pollution and plastic and noise and whatever, but the sonar that's being blasted through the ocean is literally tearing their brains out. I mean, this is a very serious problem. The whales and dolphins can't live without echolocation. They can't live without an acute sense of hearing, because that's how they navigate, that's how they mate, that's how they hunt, that's how they do everything, how they migrate. And the sonar tests and equipment that are being used in the ocean are disrupting those sound patterns, disrupting their own brain capacities. Their oral cavities are being blown apart, and a lot of them are dying, being washed ashore with their blood coming out of their ears. And it's a very tragic situation. So this is some of the first information I've heard, and some of the most important information. And this is part of a very big theme in the new book, which is a so-called fictional story, even though there's a lot of nonfiction about it.
Sure, sure. Now, isn't one of the culprits of this sonar is our own United States Navy, who's testing these sonar devices in the interests of so-called national security?
That's right. They have just pushed through another 5-year program that's going to escalate what they've already been doing. That means worse, more sonar. And it's going to invade all marine sanctuaries. There will be no more protective areas, even though we've just heard a new release from the White House that the president is calling for more marine protection. And I have a feeling that that's a reaction to public outcry about the Navy sonar. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. It's a new development. But basically, the Navy is going ahead with a 5-year program that will increase sonar testing, increase the decibels of the sonar, will include laser sonar. I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All manner of electronic equipment, bombs, explosions, chemicals, everything you can name. It's an all-out war on our oceans.
Mm.
And they openly admit that they could take, that's in quotes, up to 12 million marine mammals in a 5-year period.
That's just incredible. That's just incredible. And I could be cynical and say, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is your tax dollars at work, slaughtering off whales and dolphins. You know, I follow the internet, and people are so outraged by the U.S. Navy and their plan, absolutely outraged. And this, there used to be commercials back in the 90s for Wendy's hamburgers, and they used to say, where's the beef? That was their slogan, right? Because people would want beef in their hamburgers. And with all due respect to our president, when he talks about a marine sanctuary, you know, talk is cheap. I mean, he can talk all he wants about marine sanctuaries and protecting the ocean, but unless there's real concrete protection for these dolphins and whales, that's an empty empty promise. For example, in the next 5 years, if the U.S. Navy goes ahead with their plan, and let's say whales and dolphins become extinct across the planet, what good is the president's initiative to, quote, preserve the marine environment when they're all extinct and dead? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the new statement is that they're going to require more security for the ocean. And I tend to be a bit cynical when it comes to government,
mm-hmm.
wonder if that security is to protect the Navy to be able to go about their business without any watchful eyes.
Sure.
Rather than security for the oceans, if you get my drift here.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, so I don't put much credence in this latest announcement, but I do know that the Navy is forging ahead with this program, and that despite any public debate, which wasn't allowed, they had a small window of opportunity for people to speak out about this, and that time has passed. April 16th was the deadline, and they're going forward. So what I can say is, in the condition that our oceans are in now, I don't see where 5 years of pummeling war activities against the oceans is going to do anything to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a grave situation on this planet. One of the gravest situations that we face is the annihilation of our oceans,
yeah.
and that people need to pay attention. And we have to find a way to do that, still being empowered, because it's very discouraging. So we've got to maintain a strong sense of empowerment so that we can make change. And that's what I'm all about.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's three things I'd like to discuss throughout. First, with all due respect to our president, there is a book he published before getting elected in 2008 that said, quote, the titled book was Change We Can Believe In, Barack Obama's Plan to Renew America's Promise. On page 172 of that book, one of the titles says, Safeguard the Environment for Future Generations, quote, it's important we protect the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the soil which we plant our crops. We must safeguard our children and grandchildren, and their health and well-being depend upon it. And I wonder, with all due respect to the president, whether he's lost track of that, because certainly decimating and blowing up the brains of dolphins and whales, 12 million of them in the next 5 years, to the point where perhaps they'll become extinct, I don't see how that's safeguarding the environment for future generations. I don't see it in this book myself. Go ahead.
It's amazing what people will say to get elected.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And, you know, with all due respect to the president, I don't see anything resembling regard for the ecology of the planet in anything that's being undertaken by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So we could talk about the BP disaster.
True.
And instead of the government intervening, it was left to BP to clean it up.
True.
A disaster that destroyed the Gulf of Mexico, whether or not people want to recognize that. It's mm-hmm. still leaking oil. The chemicals that were used, Core Exit, have damaged the Gulf maybe beyond repair.
Mm-hmm.
And where was the presidential decision on that case? Oh, let's let BP, it's their mess. We're going to let them clean it up. Well, it wasn't their mess. It was the world's mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fukushima has allowed the bumbling TEPCO to take charge of the resolution of the Fukushima disaster. And it's like, why? Why aren't there crews of nuclear physicists leaping into action to try to find a solution for a global disaster?
Why
are we leaving it up to the same bungling fool that allowed inadequate equipment, ignored dangerous faults in the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't see where we can trust the government to do what's needed to save this planet from an ecological holocaust. It's up to the people.
I couldn't agree with you more. And with all due respect to our president, last year he shut down the 8 air monitoring stations for radiation in the West Coast here. So we have absolutely no federal monitoring of radiation, either in the air or the water, by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, even though they have the equipment and the scientists who are collecting their checks and salaries for doing work. I don't know what they do. And the second thing that our president did is that he increased the amount of acceptable radiation that people can be exposed to from nuclear power plants by 10,000%. This is the first time that they've changed the regulations in decades. so that literally many more people will die from radiation exposure. But this has been a change in the regulations. It's like everyone's asleep. Even on the major media, you don't hear much about Fukushima, even though 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water is being dumped daily by the Japanese right into the Pacific. Now, the interesting thing is that we were supposed to be hit with a huge radioactive plume several months ago, especially along Washington here, along the Pacific coast. And what's happened is that the radiation is gone. It's not there. And I had another a gentleman on who has had contact with some beings from out of town, so to speak. It's called the Galactic Alliance of Planets, and they said that they've cleaned it up, or at least cleaned it up partially, so it's not going to have the impact it could have had. But I agree with you, Patricia. It doesn't make sense to me. None of this makes sense.
I'd love to think that Galactic Federation cleaned up the mess, but the bottom line is you've got the annihilation of different species. The starfish are turning to mush.
True.
The sardine, I'm talking about the West Coast, the sardines are gone.
True. Really?
We've got 70,000 fish washed up in Marina Del Rey 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm not buying the idea that the radiation is gone.
Sure.
I'd have to see some serious statistics for that.
Sure.
But what I can tell you is that there's a devastation in the marine life on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The seals are washing up with sores.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get where this radiation doesn't exist anymore. It would be nice, but I think that's a little bit phantasmagorical, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I have had some water tests done by different labs around the country, and so far they've come up without radiation, but that was a couple of months ago. I haven't done any recent tests recently, but I think you're absolutely right. I have heard about the starfish. They have a wasting away disease, and several species are already thought to be extinct off the Washington coast. There was a report about 3 months ago about herring across the Pacific having what's called hemorrhaging. They were all dying, and they thought by the end of this year they would become extinct. And that I also had heard about seals in Southern California. All these pups were washing up on the beaches of Southern California, dead, and they think it was from the radiation poisoning from Fukushima as well.
Oh, yeah, with big sores on their skin.
Correct, correct. And also,
now, another phenomenon that's happening that's worrying a lot of us is that there are some places where the whales have disappeared completely.
Mm-hmm.
And others where there are strange migrations of whales never seen before.
Hmm.
And there's a growing concern that it's because they're trying to get out of those radioactive waters, or that somehow they're escaping something.
Sure.
There's not enough information to have a judgment call on that yet, but unquestionably, when you talk about species dying off this rapidly and this many, in a targeted area, which is the West Coast,
right,
then something's going on. Consider that to dismiss the idea that it's radiation would be foolish. I think it frightens us because radiation is the one thing we pretty much don't know how to handle.
Exactly, exactly.
But it's there and it's moving closer to the West Coast. This plume, because 2 months ago it was still out further out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're in a difficult situation out there. Mm-hmm. I was just out on the West Coast when those 70,000 fish floated in dead.
Sure, sure.
And all that the media could come up with was that it was, you ready for this?
Mm.
In some of the media, they were saying that perhaps some large predator had frightened them, all these fish, and they swam into an area and to escape the large predator and died because there wasn't enough oxygen.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I'm like, okay.
Sure, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there appear to be large predators in different regions of the ocean now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it's something more than a very big, angry predator that's trying to kill 70,000 fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned about the lack of public awareness, and this is why I'm out here doing what I'm doing, trying to wake people up. The problem is that a lot of people don't want to be afraid, so they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do is create a dialogue where it's not about being in fear, it's about being in power and doing what we can to change this reality.
We had I have to tell you, on April 4th, and my listeners, you're welcome to listen to this audio for this program. On April 4th, I was very fortunate to have Dr. Helen Caldicott on from Sydney, Australia. She's the world's authority on the health effects of nuclear radiation. She's also the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize as well. And we discussed Fukushima, and she was astounded on how very little coverage it's actually been in the press. And as part of that show, I also invited the governors and their staff of Alaska, Hawaii, California, Oregon, and Washington to bring on the show, as well as British Columbia. The only governor, for the record, who was interested was Governor Abercrombie in Honolulu, who was interested, but he couldn't make the couldn't be on the show because of another prior appearance. To his credit, California Governor Jerry Brown was interested in the issue, but the governors of California and Washington never did get a response back from them. They said they didn't have time. Prime Minister Clark of British Columbia wasn't interested, and neither was Governor Palmer of Alaska. I guess didn't have time to address it. Too busy. But I agree with you that the public awareness needs to be raised. One thing I wanted to ask you, Patricia, let's say the Navy goes ahead with their plan and they wipe out all the whales and dolphins on the planet. Do you think that the planetary vibration of the Earth would be lowered if there weren't any whales and dolphins on the planet?
I absolutely do. This is, let's say, something that I've been talking about repeatedly in the media, and it's a theme in both of those books, and that is, I believe that there's a deliberate intention to lower the vibration of this planet, and it has everything to do with the music of the planet, so you and I are in sync on this.
Right.
And the whales and dolphins, particularly the whales, actually are the musicians of the ocean. This is a symphony at play. And the oceans, we know, I think we discussed this the last time I was on your show, are the emotional body of the Earth, right? I mean, the waters of the planet are the emotions of the planet. And the whales and dolphins hold that emotional body in balance with music. They actually weave music through the oceans. Now, I bring forward the information that the song of a humpback whale can be played 35, 40. They can play a 40-minute melody without repeating, which shows incredible intelligence. And they can send this out 1,000 miles.
Amazing.
Now, we've got researchers like Pierre Lavigne, who is doing work with an underwater horn that he's developed with Stanford University that can really replicate the song of a humpback whale. Mm-hmm. So he will write music, in essence, and play a tune to the humpback whale there. They'll start singing it and relay it, and then researchers 1,000 miles away will contact him and say, okay, we've heard the melody pattern that you've been playing. We hear this in the whales here, 1,000 miles or more away. So this is very exciting. This means what we got here is some sort of a relay system. And this is what I believe. I believe that the whales and dolphins are actually enveloping this planet in a certain musical frequency to hold the planet a certain vibration. I also believe that the whales and dolphins are galactic messengers of light beings, of higher dimensional beings that are intent upon helping this planet, and that they are the guardians, and we have to help them. The music alive. And that would be one reason why, if you really want to get into conspiracy theories, that the Navy is trying to silence that music.
Maybe the Department of Defense should be renamed the Department of Offense instead.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Perhaps the Department of Defense in the United States should be renamed the Department of Offense.
Yeah, well, I don't know what we're being defended against besides the ubiquitous terrorists. But meanwhile, everything musical and pure and beautiful is under attack.
Absolutely. And I don't remember, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember the United States citizens or any state ever taking a vote on allowing the Navy, and with all due respect, our president, to eliminate 12 million whales and dolphins in the next 5 years across from the planet. Do you remember any vote on that? I don't.
Well, I stopped believing that voting matters a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But no, there has been no... I don't think that... Do people still believe that they have a vote in military matters on this planet?
I don't think they do. I think they just do it.
I think that we now know that we don't mm-hmm. have a vote, and that and even the president's come clear that he doesn't need congressional approval to enact, let's say, warlike activities against other nations. So who's monitoring what the Navy's doing against the ocean?
Well, the other thing, too, is the U.S. Environmental Protection Act. And if you look at that law, these whales and dolphins are supposed to be protected, at least within U.S. coastal waters. But the U.S. Navy, and with all due respect, our president, acts as if the U.S. Environmental Protection Act doesn't exist, doesn't apply. All they have to do is raise the flag of national security, and they can pretty much claim that to try to do anything they wish.
Yes. That has been enacted now so that anything goes, really.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We are in that situation where all of the old rules are gone, and it's a very mm-hmm. dangerous time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But regardless of the political implications, we still have this very real war on the ocean that is underway. I mean, they're not thinking about it. It's happening. And there are many occasions where whale beachings are directly correlated with some of these sonar tests mm-hmm. that have taken place minutes before the whales beach. And, of course, it makes sense that these whales are trying to get out of the water. I mean, imagine these horrific sounds
sure.
blasting through your home.
Right.
And what are they trying to do? They're trying to escape it. What's the only way to escape? Beach yourself. Get out of the water.
Right, exactly. I just wanted to say that, take a quick station announcement for those who are just tuning in. This is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Seattle, Bellevue, Washington, USA. For those interested in calling in and talking to Patricia, our phone number here in the studio is area code 425-373-5527. And our toll-free number within Western Washington is 1-888-298-5569. Again, that number is 425-373-5527. I've never seen before an assault on the whales and dolphins like we're having right now. And the ironic thing is it's all being paid for by our tax dollars.
Well, this is what I've brought through in the emissary. I'm talking in the emissary about this very thing, why the whales and dolphins are under attack, what, mm-hmm. and, of course, under the guise of fiction. So it's a fast-moving, action-packed sort of storyline,
right.
But this recurring theme is there, and it's prominent, and that is that the whales and dolphins are being attacked by some sort of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And sonar, of course, is the primary, but there's also another insipid weapon that is altering the frequencies of the ocean.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, there is a lawsuit against the Navy, isn't there, by the Natural Resources Defense Council, Patricia?
Yes, there is. It's underway, and they are being very scientific about it, of course, but people can definitely write to NRDC in Los Angeles, get more information about that if they want to support them, because it is actually illegal. It's a lawsuit, so it is in a sense the voice of the people against the Navy. It's very courageous to take that on, and of course they need support.
Absolutely. Well, I have, if you don't mind, I'd like to read off the name of the case is called Natural Resources Defense Council versus National Marine Fisheries Service. The case number is 14-CV 00153 SOMRLP. It's in the U.S. District Court for the District of Hawaii. For those interested in learning more about the case or to donate to their efforts, please go to this website, www.savebiogems.org. That's SAVEBIOGEMS.org. I know they would really appreciate your support.
Yeah, I met with them when I was in Los Angeles. These are wonderful people. They're very clear about what they're doing, and they're approaching it from a very grounded, let's say, scientific, legal way. Mm-hmm. But this needs to get out into the public consciousness more, and the public need to understand that there is an organization, there are organizations that are really, really working to bring this to a close.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not easy to sue the U.S. Navy.
Right. Right. I've noticed
and
that.
And what we need is a groundswell of public opinion
mm-hmm.
and support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think if this was ever taken to a vote, and a straight vote, and if there was a ballot question, for example, you know, shall we eliminate 12 million whales and dolphins from the world's oceans by exploding their brains? I'm sure 90-95% of the people of this planet would say no. But, of course, we're not given the vote on it. But I hope our leaders are indeed listening, and they do respond in a good way to our call to save these beautiful creatures.
But I would like to add that the problem is that if there was a petition out there, you wouldn't get that the numbers of people, many people are afraid to sign a petition or don't want to take the stand or whatever reason. I mean, I recently sent out a petition that calls for people to sign that simply said, stop U.S. Navy sonar, plain and simple. And I can't tell you what it takes to get people to even sign that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the mechanism of bringing people into fear has been very effective mm-hmm. and has silenced a lot of the public outcry. And we need to get out of that fear and get back into the power zone of protecting and guarding being guardians of this planet.
Well, Patricia, I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the purposes of this program is to certainly raise human consciousness in a very positive, bright way, because I think our future for humanity is very, very bright. We face some of the most tremendous challenges in human history right now. We've got the whales, of course, to deal with, and our own government to deal with to try to stop their diabolical, crazy program to eliminate these beautiful creatures from the planet. We've got Fukushima running amok. Every day there's 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water being dumped knowingly by the Japanese government with no end in sight and no efforts by our government nor the Japanese government to do anything about it. There's lots of pollution in the ocean, but there's things we can do. I think we're powerful spiritual beings, and we need to take responsibility for our actions and to think in a positive, constructive way of how we can help the whales and dolphins and also make this planet a better place, too, to live.
I agree. And we know that we work on certain levels, and that is positive and focused intention, prayer, meditation. This all is very effective. And then there are the other pragmatic, earthly levels of signing petitions, writing to your senators, getting out and cleaning the oceans, supporting organizations that are your warriors. Look at Sea Shepherd, for example.
Mm-hmm.
These people are out on every day risking their lives. These are the walking your talk people who are out on the ships trying to stopping the Japanese from lifting whales out of the ocean.
Oh, absolutely.
So there
absolutely.
Is so much you can do.
And absolutely.
It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be the one that's out, visibly out campaigning. You can do behind-the-scenes work if that's not your calling. But we really do need to join forces now and more than ever before take our role as guardians of this great planet.
Oh.
And I, like you, I'm very positive. I believe we can do this.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult, but that's when we get moving. That's when human beings really get moving, when we're up against the wall. And we are.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Harry Truman.
It's so true, though.
That's true.
Life is easy and we're in let's say, abundance and society is comfortable,
right.
we get comfortable.
Right, exactly.
And we are definitely not comfortable now, and that's when we rise to our greatness.
Well,
so this is a very, like you said, it's a very challenging time, but it's also a very exciting time.
Absolutely. We and people can certainly help out by supporting the efforts to curtail the Navy's program to eliminate 12 million whales and dolphins in the oceans in the next next 5 years. And you can also certainly get the word out by supporting this radio program, because this program is supported by donations and listener support. And I also want to tell you, Patricia, would you like to take a caller? We have Marie calling from Seattle.
Wonderful.
Marie, hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
So good to have you call in.
Yes, I just want to be cheering on both of you in your voices, because it's, first off, it's just unfathomable that this is even on the table right now, or in the ocean, or in our consciousness. But Patricia, like you said, it's, you know, when you look at the conspiracy theories, and given that they're emissaries of light and from, you know, this divine knowingness. But the long and short of it is, so are we. And we absolutely, with the power of our mind, I mean, it kind of, I guess the question is, the question that I beg is, isn't it time for us to start using our own galactic understanding and using the power of light in these instances? For instance, what if we all joined together with the power of our mind and white lighted the ocean as a oneness protection for our protectors?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that comment and question, Maria. And yes, I agree that absolutely we're working on so many levels, as I stated a little bit earlier, and we have people doing all kinds of things to heal the oceans around the planet. We've got global meditations going on. We're working with sound. We're calling on, obviously, all of the higher beings who are concerned with and protecting and guarding the Earth. And I personally believe that at the celestial level, I feel that somehow the sun is going to be involved with removing some of this radiation. I'm not sure how that's going to play yet, but I'm watching the bizarre behavior of the sun and wondering if that's part of some sort of celestial play that will absorb some of this radiation, because we do remember that the Earth is a living being, and the conscious living being, the sun is a conscious living being too.
True.
And there are interpersonal dynamic relations between the celestial beings. So let's hope that at a galactic level there are things going on that we don't necessarily understand down here as residents on this beautiful planet. But meanwhile, we do need to, as much as possible, unite on all levels, on the levels of being consciously aware, light working, prayer, meditation, focused intent, ascending light, all of these things that you suggested, and then the hands-on, cleaning up the beaches, closing down the sea world, by the way, let's throw that in,
yeah.
And everything possible that we can do, because the awareness is rising. The whales and dolphins, in my humble opinion, are actually beginning their campaign to communicate to the human race, and there is a great shift underway. So we're part of that, and I'm hoping that more and more people will rapidly come on board and bring that love and light and wisdom and energy into resolving one of the greatest issues of our life at this time on the planet.
Thank you so much for calling in, Marie. You know, I think in years to come, I think in years to come, we'll look back at this time, and I think we'll all be living in a better place with a better planet, and the pollution that we have now will be cleaned up. So I think we will resolve our problems. I don't look at it as doom and gloom. I think it's just one more issue we need to address. That's all.
That's right. And as I said, this is a time when we are so challenged. This is when we show our stuff. Mm-hmm. This is when human beings move into action. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see some amazing things occur at a time when it seems like we're really in a dire situation. I always tell people, don't underestimate the human spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wasn't there a lyrics by the, I think it was the, it was either the Birds or the Association said the darkest hour is just before dawn.
I don't remember who it was, but it was wisdom. Absolute.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wasn't it the Mamas and Papas?
Yes, that's right. It was Mamas and Papas. That's right. Yes, the darkest
hour. We're dating ourselves here, kiddo.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm only 17, so no, I'm older than that. Older than that. I have to ask you, Patricia, one thing I found very interesting is that, did you say that you've been channeling messages from the Syrians? Is that right?
Yes, I've been a channel for the Syrian High Council. They
Wonderful.
Are six-dimensional beings, and I've been working with them consciously since 1996.
Wonderful.
And that was after an experience in a crop circle called the Julia Set, which was a huge, huge experience for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I started receiving them at that time and have produced several books for them. Let's see how many. The Emissary is my 13th book, mm-hmm. but it's my first fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the others have been channeled information from Syrian High Council, the whales and dolphins who sit on the Syrian High Council, and quite a wealth of information actually has come through.
Fascinating. I've heard that the whales and dolphins on this planet are not from here, that they were brought here from somewhere else. Were they brought from the Syrians?
I believe that the whales and dolphins are indigenous to many planets,
mm-hmm.
many
mm-hmm.
dimensions and many planets.
Interesting.
But it is also, we go back to the legend of the Dogon people, the
right.
tribe of West Africa,
right.
who openly discussed the Nomo. Are you familiar with the Dogon?
Oh, yeah, I sure am, and I've read books about
okay.
them.
Okay. So you know that the Dogon tribes spoke about being visited by beings that stepped came out of the sky and then walked out of the water.
Correct.
And they called them the Nomo, and they were fish-like but human-like too.
Hmm.
And so some people believe that this was the representation of dolphins coming from another world. In fact, the Nomo described these beings as coming from Sirius.
Interesting. Interesting. Could you, for the benefit of my listeners, Patricia, could you please list your books that you've written so my listeners could certainly get a copy and read your wonderful books?
Oh, well, that would be wonderful. All right. Well, it's many, so here we go. The first book is...
Talk slowly, so we can write it down.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me, I'm having a coughing.
That's all right.
A moment.
Have some coffee.
All right, the first book was called The Cosmos of Soul, A Wake-Up Call for Humanity. The second, Atlantis Rising, The Struggle of Darkness and Light. This is a very, very popular book, and it's an interesting phenomenon. I receive emails from people maybe two a week who tell me that the book fell off of a shelf, or they felt like somebody pushed it off a shelf but nobody was there.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about it vibrating in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's a strange phenomenon, but very exciting.
Wonderful.
And then the third is No More Secrets, No More Lies. The fourth book is called The Starseed Dialogue, Soul Searching the Universe. Okay, what comes after that? Hard to remember.
Well, sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll
put you on the spot here.
There's a, I think that's before, oh boy, Beyond the Matrix, which is a collection of interviews that I conducted on my show, Beyond the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fascinating book. It's got interviews with some remarkable people like Edgar Mitchell, Michio Kaku, Stanton Freeman, and ranges from everything from UFO, interdimensional, to Ecology for the Earth. It's a book that, it's a very thick book, too.
Interesting.
All right, after that we've got Where Pharaohs Dwell, which is an autobiographical story of some pretty mystical things that have happened to me in Egypt. Does that take me to number seven?
That's number six, my friend.
Number six. I was co-author in two books. One is called The Great Shift with Lee Carroll and Tom Kenyon. And the second one is called Transition Now with Lee Carroll and okay, it's escaping me at the moment, but it'll come to me.
That's all right.
Another author.
I know it's late.
So that's two more we've got.
It's late back there in Italy, and I'm sorry to ask you, because it's getting close
to
midnight.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Nothing more embarrassing than forgetting someone's name. How disrespectful is that?
Well, in the next, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, and this is just a joke, but in 25 words or less, what is the message of the Syrians that my listeners could take away from today's show?
Are you kidding me? In 25 words or less?
I'm just joking about 25 words or less. You've written seven books about their messages.
Oh,
that was just a joke.
All right. In 25 words of less or less, the message is that we are the guardians of this planet, that no one needs to come and save us, that the karma of the Earth is ours to confront as the guardians of this planet, and that as we move through an ascension process that's going to involve the entire solar system, I've passed 25 words, I'm sure.
That's fine. Go right ahead. Have more. Have 27. Fine.
The Earth is going to go through a passing, let's say, a sort of a clearing station, which is the fourth dimension, before it progresses onward into higher states of consciousness. And that fourth dimension involves karma clearing for the entire planet. And they describe this as us having our shadow right in front of us, not behind us, but right in front of us, and as a global civilization confronting that shadow and healing it. And I believe we're already in that process, and we're already entering into the fourth dimension, and that is one of the reasons why we are faced with all of these heavy-duty things, because this is the collective karma of a planet that's been in strife for so many millennium. So their message is, you will get through this, but nobody can do this for you. You are the guardians of the Earth. You've got to confront it. You've got to heal it. And I love that message. It's so empowering. So to the off-earthers or to the people that want to go home to their star system or whatever, I love to remind people, and so does the council, you chose to be here. You went through incredible hoops to make it, to be here on planet Earth now, and own that and honor it and celebrate your passage and get to work.
Well, that's a very profound and wonderful, a wonderful thought to leave my listeners. We have, we've got a few minutes left. Patricia, and I'd love to have you wrap up today's program with any parting thoughts you'd like to give my listeners here in the United States and around the world.
Okay, well, since we started out talking about the whales and dolphins, I really implore you, please find out more. I hope you will read the last two books I didn't get to mention in the lineup. Before we leave you, Messages from the Great Whales and the Dolphin Beings, which is directly from them, and my new book, The Emissary, which is a not-so-fictional story of what's going on. And it also involves another plot that includes the question of alien life on our planet. So please get out and read those and get excited, get involved. Please help. We can do this. And it's going to take everybody becoming aware. So to each of you, to all of us, the responsibility for change means that we've got to make it happen. It's not going to be done for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'd also like, for the benefit of my listeners here in the United States, across Canada and around the world, the lawsuit that's been brought by the Natural Resources Defense Council against the Navy is actually called NRDC versus National Marine Fisheries Service. The case number is 14-CV-00153-SOMRLP. It's in the U.S. District Court in the District of Hawaii, Honolulu. You can go to this website, www.savebiogems.org, and you can certainly read more about the lawsuit there, and they'd be happy also to take donations. We'll be finishing up this interview in just a few seconds, but please stay tuned. We'll be having Phoenix Redhawk, who's one of the best psychic healers in the United States, on in our next hour in about 5 minutes. But Patricia, I want you to say goodbye to all my listeners around the world.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Thank you for having me on your show and for all the wonderful work that you're doing, Ted. And to everyone that's been listening, thank you. I embrace you, and I look forward to our next step together on planet Earth.
Wonderful, Patricia. Have a wonderful evening and a good sleep.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now here's a surprise. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic.